Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Conmovida, este podcast para hacerte vibrar, sentir y crear. Mi nombre es Carolina Caballero y es para mí una alegría volver a saludarte. Te doy las gracias por estar aquí. Esta vez te comparto una entrevista con una persona muy especial que tuve el gusto de conocer en Semana Santa en Minca. En Semana Santa pasaron cosas importantes para Movida, una de ellas el primer retiro con un grupo de bailarines increíble, con un equipo creativo muy bello, con el que tuve la oportunidad de compartir prácticas de silencio, de movimiento y de conexión con la naturaleza y por supuesto con nuestra propia creatividad. Toda esta experiencia está siendo documentada en las redes sociales, entonces te invito a que visites mi Instagram, a que visites el Facebook a través del @movidacc. Y bueno, dos días antes de ese gran retiro, yo quise darme un par de días de descanso y tuve la gran dicha de resultar en este espacio tan maravilloso allá en Minca, es una comunidad que lleva ya un tiempo trabajando y tuve la oportunidad de hablar con uno de sus propietarios. Entonces creo que la conversación no necesita más introducción, solo decir que es un episodio que está en inglés. ¡Ah! Yo nuevamente practicando mi inglés, entonces bueno, para los que no saben inglés, tranquilos, después de este episodio vendrá otro en español. Con un miembro de la comunidad con quien también tuve una conversación muy enriquecedora y muy linda para escuchar. Entonces, bueno, todas estas conversaciones igual también marcan, digamos, que la visión de Movida va nutriendo el proyecto, entonces ahí también pues te irás enterando. Pero si sabes inglés, entonces espero que lo disfrutes de principio a fin. And for the international community, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to Conmovida. My name is Carolina Caballero, and I let you enjoy the episode. I'm here in Aloha Retreat, Colombia, a very beautiful place, and I'm here with one of the owners, Gregory, but I let you introduce yourself. Thank you so much for being here in Conmovida, this podcast to make you want to move, feel, and create.
Hola, Carolina. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to share this time with you.
Yeah, thank you. So, Greg, I'm very curious. Well, first of all, what about you telling us a little bit more about who you are?
Okay, well...
your entire name.
My entire name. Do you need my social security number as well?
No, not that much.
Okay. My name is Gregory Bogard, and I am just a boy from Dayton, Ohio. I come from the United States, and I am a licensed massage therapist. I am an artist, musician, songwriter.
A great one.
Thank you. And I'm a facilitator of transformational workshops and events. And I am a chocolate maker is
my newest venture
that I'm in love with. And I'm also one of the four partners and owners of Aloha Retreat Colombia.
And you also advocate for water.
Absolutely. I am an advocate for hydration and for people to have access to
good water.
Great water. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at the end, we're big bags of water walking
right.
around. We're mm-hmm. mostly water. So a lot of people never think about the different types of water there could be. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense. If we're water and there's different types of water, it's a good thing to put the best water we can into our bodies.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'm here because I wanted to disconnect a little bit from technology these days. It's Semana Santa here in Colombia, and I had the great pleasure to come here and reconnect with the land, with nature, with good water, good food. And so I got really curious about the space, the activities you do, the way you have organized yourselves to live in community. I think people should know about these projects and yeah, you, who better than yourself to, like, you know, share what it is about.
Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. Yeah, as you said, you know, we're not so eager or trying to make a big impact on social media. I think all of us here, we really enjoy our somewhat quiet life on the mountain, but we are confident. We know from our experience the right people, the people who are meant to come to us and experience this farm and this land and our offerings, they always find us. So I think maybe if somebody finds us through this podcast, then it was just meant to be.
Right, exactly.
So this project, we're located in the Sierra Nevadas of Santa Marta, and there is a small mountain village called Minco. It's Minca. It's the ecological capital of Colombia. Mm-hmm. And if you go through the town of Minca and you hike about 3 hours higher up into the mountain, or you take a moto ride for 50 minutes, you'll find our farm. So we're a bit higher in elevation, maybe at 1,400 meters. And in a clear morning, you can see the Snow Peak Mountains.
Yes, which makes,
We have a clear view of Cerro Kennedy as well. So we're located in a very special and sacred place. And it's an honor for us to be here, to live here on this land, and consider ourselves responsible for the land and to be caretakers, and really just not to be owners, but to take care, to live here and to be good stewards of the land. And this farm specifically, this land we're on, was in the past one of the lands used to grow cannabis. And so the earth here, the land, was quite destroyed when we first got it, and all of the trees cut down, for example, and all of the soil was destroyed. It believe it or not, it looked like a desert.
Whoa.
Everywhere here.
I can't believe that.
So we've been on a mission to restore the soil in this place and to grow the trees back and to grow our food and create a place that can be sustainable, where we're growing all of our own food. We have our own water supplies. And one day we'll hope to be off grid with our power and electricity as well. So just to give an idea of when we started, the original owner and founder of the project, his name is Ryan, from the States originally, but he bought the land and started the project in August of 2015.
Okay, so it's been like 6 years more?
We're getting close to 6 years.
Okay, cool. And can you share a little bit like what brought him here maybe? Like, why was he interested in Minca? And
so Ryan is an amazing guy who had a beautiful vision, and he, you know, was a businessman in the States, and like many people maybe can relate to, you get to a certain point in life or in your career when maybe things are going okay for you, but you realize there's something more that you would like from this life. And so he made some big changes, and he had quit his job, and he started traveling, and he found himself in Hawaii, in the islands, and he found himself on Big Island, and was able to be introduced to the idea of permaculture and sustainable farming and sustainable living. And so on his trip to Hawaii, he received the idea, the vision, the dream to create a sustainable permaculture project. And where he would do that, he didn't know. But so he had the idea there in Hawaii, and he started traveling. He, at one point, found the cheapest flight out of the United States, which happened to be to Cartagena, Colombia. I think a lot of people find from the States, or you know, that we find ourselves coming to Colombia for the first time because it's can be a short, quick flight. People don't realize. And so in that time, you started traveling. Long story, as short as possible, he found himself in these mountains, hiking around. He ended up meeting the owner of this land, and they built a connection. And over the next year, the owner really liked who Ryan was and his ideas, and he wanted to sell the land to Ryan. And so after about a year of working together, and Ryan not being sure if he was going to do this or not, he eventually made the leap and he bought the land with no plan, with not so much money, and he came and he set up a tent, and that's how the project started. So originally it was just the small house up by the road. It had no roof. It had no plumbing.
Wow.
It had no electricity. And everything else past the house didn't exist. It was all just bare land.
Wow. So tell us what there is now.
Okay, so...
for people who are listening, can imagine how different it is now.
Just for those who are listening, maybe somewhere in a link we can give a link to the website or the Facebook, mm-hmm. and you can find some pictures to mm-hmm. give some context. But... over the last 5 years, we've been very busy building with the principles of permaculture and bioconstruction and trying to use materials locally. And also, we've had indigenous living with us over the years, and they've helped us. So right now, we have a beautiful bathroom created, which has two dry compost toilets, which we, for people that are unfamiliar with what a dry compost toilet is, it's a toilet without water. Mm-hmm. And so we do our business like normal, and we have a bucket that holds the business, the poo, and we add
the liquid
sawdust on top. The liquid is separated to avoid a bad smell. And over time, we fill the bucket and we seal it. We bring it to a side of the farm where we store it, and after 3 months, it goes through a process of decomposing. We do a mixture with some lime, some cal, and some other sawdust and things, put it into bags. It sits and decomposes again for another 3 months. And after 6 months, we have beautiful compost to use for our trees, and really has allowed us to jumpstart rebuilding the soil on the land. So these bathrooms, in a way, are a big focus. You know,
yeah.
All of the people who come to Aloha are giving us a beautiful gift by using our bathroom facility.
Okay.
So with that, we
so
also...
So when you come here, don't feel shy to go to a toilet.
Yeah, we're actually just a bunch of...
Happy.
We're poo farmers here. And so the more people we have, the more poo, and the better we can...
How many times you're like, yay, he's going to toilet, she's going to toilet.
No, but the more people here, the quicker the buckets fill up, so we change them a lot.
Yeah.
So. Enough about that. We also have two showers in our bathroom facility that we, you know, it's the bathroom itself is open. So you're looking out into the nature, which is really beautiful. And so when you're showering... We have a solar water heater, so it's quite
a
luxurious
works really nicely, uh-huh.
thing to be up in the mountains and have hot water. So we have this. We also have a 30,000 liter water tank that we built to hold water that we get from about 2 kilometers away. When we arrived here, we had no water source, so there's a land further up about 20 minutes walking called Los Pinos, mm-hmm. a beautiful lookout point. And there's a natural spring that supplies water for the communities here. So we ran a line, it fills up our 30,000 liter water tank, and we're able to use that water to water all of our trees and plants and gardens, for the showers, for the kitchen. And we have enough that we're able to also share with our neighbors and our community here, and the church across the street as well. After that, we built the 3 cabanas, which mm-hmm. you're staying in mm-hmm. one of them mm-hmm. right now, which have a beautiful mountain and ocean view. There are 4 beds on the bottom level and a loft up top
mm-hmm.
For a little semi-private experience. So we hold our guests and retreats, guests for the retreats there. And we have 2 private indigenous cabanas, one that you see here and
uh-huh.
this one that I'm living in.
Uh-huh.
And we most recently finished the construction for our temple. So we have a large temple, 10 meters high by...
It's amazing.
It's a big, big space
where
we're able to really utilize for all of our classes, the different workshops that we're holding in the different events and retreats that we host here. Besides that, we have a few other structures around the property, and we're always working in the gardens,
yeah.
You know, planting more trees. We've planted probably more than 1,000 trees on the property and are always working to grow our gardens and create more food for us to share with the people who come here.
Yeah, the food is amazing as well. Like, how good. Mostly from ingredients from here, right? From around here, like here from the farm and then from around.
Yeah, so we're lucky. It's taken many years, you know, to be able to grow enough food to support as many people as we have coming through here. It is a huge endeavor. Yeah. And it's almost a different project than just operating an event space like we are. So not all of our food is coming from our gardens at the moment. And we're sourcing a lot of things like our fruits from our neighbors,
nice.
You know, that have been living near us. And we're also still receiving food from Santa Marta, where there's some co-ops of farmers in the region.
Okay. How many people can stay here at once?
Well,
how many people have you like received, you know, the most?
It's funny because we had the most people staying here before any of the cabanas were built.
Okay.
So there was a time when we had maybe 45 people here.
And people what, just came and hanged there?
We had tents.
And then tents,
we had
yeah.
hammocks and tents all over the place. It was
big woodstock here.
It was quite a hippie camp. But those were our glory days. And, yeah. and there was times when we had like 25 volunteers here. And, you know, was not sustainable at all financially for the project to have so many people, and we're just providing food. And
yeah.
when you have that many people that are travelers and, you know, musicians and artists, it can be hard to actually get a lot of work done. So
yeah.
those were some of the most fun moments that we had
not
in our years,
very productive,
but
yeah.
not so productive.
Yeah.
But it's a part of our story.
Yeah.
And now I would say with our retreats and our comfortable beds, we just had an event with about 26 people on the farm.
So tell me a little bit more, like, do you offer your own retreats or people contact you in case they want to do their own retreat?
Yeah, so we've done both. We started by facilitating our own retreats. In the first 4 years, we were mainly operating as a plant medicine retreat center.
Okay.
And there is a beautiful community in San Gil, in the Santander
okay.
region.
Mm-hmm.
The community is called El Tejido, and it's facilitated by two brothers, Miguel and Luis Rios.
Okay.
And they are facilitators of Yahe ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been working with them for many years, and they were the ones facilitating the Yahe ceremonies in our retreats. And I was facilitating the Purpose Spark experience, which I've told you about
yeah.
a bit personally. And now we've transitioned a lot. It's been a couple years since we've held a plant medicine ceremony. And of course, with COVID and everything happening over the last year, we were over a year without having an event. So this past weekend, we hosted a four-day retreat with Alejandro, who is... Alexander is his name. He's from Russia.
Okay.
He is an amazing teacher of yoga and breath work who has been living here with his family in Minka for more than 10 years. He is the operator, the owner of Casa Yoga in Minka, which is an amazing place to check out if you're wanting to learn more about yoga and breath work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we collaborate with him to host events with yoga, with breath work, with cacao ceremonies. And as I mentioned, I host events with Purpose Spark, which is a transformational process
yeah.
of sharing and listening, where we take small groups of people and we guide them through questions about their past, their present, and their future. We do permaculture immersion events, where one of our partners named Max from England, he is our permaculture guru, and so he is facilitating events, teaching introductions to permaculture and deeper immersions, practical guides,
nice.
Bioconstruction. But yes, we're open to working with facilitators outside who want to come and just utilize our space to facilitate their events. We like to build a relationship with these people before. So inviting them to come stay with us and learn more about them, share with us their process.
So you think I could eventually do a Movida retreat here?
I was, you know, if you weren't going to say anything about it, I was going to ask
That's
you.
That's so sweet.
Because you've only been here for a couple days now, but, you know, already your presence with you and Marie has been beautiful having you here. And you've hosted yoga and people are loving it. So, of course, I was hoping that would be brought up in the conversation.
Good. Yeah, that's great. Okay, but moving a little bit outside that, but we will do a retreat here in the future. I wanted to know a little bit more about, like you said, that you are only a boy from Ohio, but you have traveled around with your music, and I'm curious how you got here or what made you fall in love with the Colombian land.
Yeah, well,
where have you been?
I find myself incredibly lucky. I think, you know, without ego, I really believe I am just a blessed and lucky individual. And that having that feeling or that idea, it served me very well. Just constantly being in a state of gratitude for all of the opportunities I've had and the people in my life. So. I've been very fortunate to be able to travel after high school, spending time in Mexico and El Salvador, and with business with the water, I started traveling a lot more and making my first trip to Europe in 2014 and going as far as Japan to Tokyo and Okinawa. But as I progressed through my story as a young man making his way through this world, I started working with these transformational classes, which I've mentioned Purpose Spark a few times. So I started Purpose Spark as a 4-week transformational course or class in my hometown in 2015. And with that, it led to workshops and mentioned my music. I have been playing music festivals for years, and there's workshops at all of these festivals. So I started doing Purpose Spark workshops at the festivals. And then in 2016, I was in St. Louis, Missouri at a festival, and I met this guy who I mentioned before, Ryan. And Ryan was the original founder of Aloha, and he told me about this place. And so after he invited me, I made my way here. My first trip was in November of 2016, and almost straight away, I started offering Purpose Spark at all of the retreats that we would have here. So starting to work with the plant medicines as well, and beginning my journey with that world, which I consider myself very lucky to have had so many opportunities to work with this beautiful medicine that's coming from the jungle and in Putumayo and in Colombia. And that's how I found my way here. And I essentially, just from the minute I arrived, I fell in love.
Did you feel drawn to it?
I felt so drawn to this place, to the point where my first trip was only for 3 weeks. And I went back to the States just for 10 days. And I bought a flight to come straight back. And so since then, I've been spending as much time as I can here and have been part of the community and become very close with the partners. And there's been changes throughout the years of, you know, ownership and the community of who's living here permanently. And I've remained constant here, always coming back and forth. And in 2019, I joined the team as an official partner of this place.
So does the project here goes very well with your own purpose, Spark?
I truly believe that, you know, when I arrived at this place, it was like, whatever you want to call it, God or the universe or the divine force of love that moves everything, brought me here to a place that is giving me a blank canvas with which I can paint and create all of my dreams that I've ever had. And everything that I want is here. And all of the opportunities that I've ever prayed for or asked for have been given to me in this place. So,
so you feel that it flows for you or here?
For me, it is a almost surreal manifestation of these dreams that I had as a young adult, as a massage therapist, you know, working for countless hours in a dark room, giving massages. I believe in those times in my head, in my mind, in this sort of moving meditation of giving massage in this way. I created these dreams. I had these ideas of the life that I wanted to live and create. And of course, the ideas in our mind are always different than what life actually gives us.
Yeah.
But in a beautiful way, when I've been able to let go of what I thought it needed to look like or what I wanted it to look like, it creates the space for it to come to me in a more magical and more beautiful way than I could have imagined before.
That's beautiful. So. Yeah. Let's breathe that. That's a good one. Yes. Awesome. So I love to travel a lot, like move. I'm all about movement because I dance and all these things, but also because I think I also have like a dancing mind, and like traveling has also changed me a lot. And especially my last trip, I feel like that's part also of my healing process, or has helped to process more things in my life. So how do you relate to that? Like, because also this is a place where people could come for a retreat for some days, so it involves the traveling, you know, like.
Well, I can say that from a young age, I knew that I was aware of my own mortality, and that we are not promised infinite amount of time here on this planet. And so when we think of all of existence and the lifespan of a human, it's actually a very short amount of time. So from a young age, I knew that I wanted to get the most out of my life and to have as many experiences as I could, and to learn as much as I can about being a human. And to one day, you know, I think of myself as being a young man on this path who will one day be an elder if I'm permitted to make it to an older age. And to have wisdom in your life, I think the best way to gain this wisdom is through experience. So I've always been one to learn from experience. And I think that in order to expand your mind, it's important to spend time away from where you were born. And I find that traveling and immersing yourself into different cultures and going to places that you don't know so much about, or maybe that you've heard things about, but you take the experience from your perspective and what you get. And I've found always preconceived notions about any place or any type of person. When I go and investigate for myself, it's often far different than what I've heard or have been told about in the past. So, yeah, for me, being able to travel is like a way to get on a fast track or a fast path to grow. Because when you travel and when you're open to change your direction, often you will come up against more obstacles than normal, and there will be more challenges that you face than if you just remain comfortable in your home and with what you know. And so that's been my process, is throwing myself into the deep end, the ocean of life, and learning how to swim throughout that process. So always facing the challenges as they come, which there's been many, but the blessing is that there's always a lesson with every challenge, because in order to break through an obstacle or a challenge, we have to grow, we have to expand. And it can be a painful process, but there's always
a reward
on the other side. So being willingness, being willing to be uncomfortable, being willing to put myself in an environment where I know nothing, and being humble, always a student mentality, and seeing everyone I meet along my path as a teacher.
Yeah, totally agree. Yes. Well, I always ask people, because the podcast is called Conmovida, which means like what moves you like inside, right? Like what moves you? And I think it's super nice and interesting that you also like guide Purpose Spark workshops. So what do you feel is your spark, or like what makes you move? If you could put it like in words.
Yeah. Well, you know, Purpose Spark, it really does, I believe, represent who I am as far as who I want to be in the world, mm-hmm. in relation to service of others, what I want to bring to offer others in the world. And really, it's just paying forward what was offered to me. Mm-hmm. And so with Purpose Spark, it exists to create the space for people to reclaim their identity, mm-hmm. and to occupy their heart and their mind and their body. And that's what excites me in life, is to come into contact with people who know who they are, mm-hmm. and who are able to, you know, get to know themselves in a way to where they see the shape of their unique puzzle piece, mm. that fits into the larger puzzle of humanity. Mm-hmm. So this is the idea of Purpose Spark, is to create the space for people to build that relationship with themselves, and to really choose for yourself why you are here and what your mission is in this life. Because so many times, I know for myself, I was waiting in life to receive a divine message, or mm-hmm. for someone to tell me what my purpose is or what my mission is. And what I've come to learn is that we're always living our purpose. And it's what's happening in the present moment, and with our thoughts and with our choices and with our actions. Mm. What we choose is what we're choosing to be our purpose. And if we are not happy with that, in any moment we can change it. Mm. So that's my mission with Purpose Spark, is creating the space for people to find that for themselves and create that for themselves, and either begin that journey or continue on that journey. Mm-hmm. And as an individual, I feel my purpose is to connect and ignite communities, mm. and to be a champion for other people to live their unique truth. Because when we have the opposite of occupying our mind, mm-hmm. and our body and our heart, it's being vacant. So being empty in our mind and our body and our hearts. Mm-hmm. And when we leave this empty space, we leave room to become occupied by something else. Mm-hmm. Whether it is an ideology, a religion, education from school, family dynamics, the government, politics, social media. These are very strong opinions and organizations or entities that have an agenda. And I'm not saying they're bad by any means, but when we leave space, mm-hmm. and we're not occupying our mind for ourselves and claiming our own consciousness, we unconsciously take on these outside mm-hmm. ideas, and we kind of get in a habit of just kind of living our life, going through the motions, going to school, getting married, having a career, making a family, like all beautiful things. But there's
sometimes without the awareness or clear decision. Yeah,
when we miss the awareness mm-hmm. that we have as these sovereign, unique, individual, mm-hmm. infinite beings, mm-hmm. we're missing the magic of bringing our unique truth to this life, which is why I say, like, Purpose Spark is a process to help us identify the shape of our puzzle piece, so that we can now bring that forward into humanity, put our piece in the puzzle, and together we create this larger picture. Mm-hmm. And so that's my mission. And yeah. It's humble. I don't feel the need to be known and to try to make the biggest impact possible, but just to be yeah. present and be with the people who come
even
to me
one
in
by
my
one
life.
Yes,
one by one,
me
it's
too.
Okay,
I get moved by that a lot, like when people, when I can support others people like truth or singularity, like or become more expressive, you know, because people sometimes I feel like they are afraid because of what you are saying, like there's no more room inside them to really listen to themselves or whatever, and then they find themselves doing things because it has been always that way, you
of
know?
Of course.
And then when they start becoming more expressive, more authentic, more them, then that's very powerful. It's been a journey for myself as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're all in that together. Like, as I support for other people to do so, I at the same time I'm growing with them as well.
Yeah. It's a major reason why I would always encourage someone to take a leap to go travel.
Yeah.
Right? Because it gives us this opportunity to get outside of like the bubble that we're born into.
Totally. Yeah.
And start to see the world from a new perspective.
Increase your curiosity as well. And yeah, totally. Wow. Okay. Well, then last question I do is like, what do you think the world needs the most right now?
You know, we need more love, of course. Mm-hmm. The answer is right there, so I have to say it. But that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
What is love anyway?
That subject, yeah.
But I really do believe that we need people in the world to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And to really have a grasp on their own identity. To understand that their life and their mind and their ideas, it's all theirs to own and to cultivate and to transform and to grow in. And I believe that the more people that we have in this planet that are moving through life with consciousness, with an awareness, that they're a unique, sovereign individual, and what they have is different than anyone else on the world, and the world needs their flavor. You know, we're making a big human soup,
yes,
and everybody's bringing their own spice to the pot, and so we need people to know what spice and what flavor they're bringing, and to add it in.
That's a good metaphor.
We need maybe less people just following the mainstream ideas, more people asking questions. And people really seeking what it is that will bring them fulfillment in life.
Wow. Awesome. Now I don't know what to say to close this.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe just to say that is like that will continue. Like, this is just a goodbye now. We said, no es más que un hasta luego, we'll see each other later. So this is just the beginning of a conversation. I feel like there is so much to be learned in the place and with the community and with you all guys. I didn't meet the other owners or the other members as much because I was here just for 2 days, but I'm also amazed how open people are and how generous and friendly and so that's also part of what held probably you guys together. Just thank you again for your time, for your openness, for your willingness to share, even though you don't like this social media things. But for me, it is important to gather information that aligns with what I also believe is important in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of it. So more people like... Really taking care of the land, of themselves, of their bodies, of that relationship with food, water, all the elements. So I still live in the city, and I mean I haven't taken the leap yet, but nature calls me like really hard, like so I wish I could spend more time in places like this, and I hope I can do it in the near future. Yeah.
Well, I would say that it's it's quite rare for someone to visit us in Aloha and only come one time. So
okay, good.
Typically, we have someone oracle, coming yeah. back more times and
more than once.
So want to make sure you know we really appreciate you and we welcome you back anytime you have a home here, and we would love to see what we can create together one day and have plant the seed for a collaboration to happen. Mm-hmm. And I also just want to thank you for the work that you do and for all of the leaps that you have made in life, maybe not into nature for this life, but you've made many, many leaps.
I have,
from this short I've gotten to hear about your story.
It's true.
And you've clearly shown that you are showing up in life to make an impact. And I believe mm-hmm. that you are very much doing that. So thank you for this platform you've created and all of the work that you're doing and will continue to do.
Yes. All right. So, thank you to audience. Thanks for listening. And I'll be here later on. Bye-bye. Bye, Greg.
Ciao.